This is Hannah Lazar.
And Nick.
And we're here at SOMA in San Diego at the Rock for Africa benefit concert with two gentlemen, one from representative from Children of the Nations and guys here straight from Malawi. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
So, Noel, the representative from Children of the Nations, you yourself were affected by Children of the Nations. Is that correct?
Yeah. Actually, both of us have the connection with Children of the Nations, partly because we both come from the country of Malawi, which Children of the Nations has one of their feeding centers there. Actually, many of their feeding centers there, and so we have a close connection with Children of the Nations that way. But we also, both of us, do know Chris Clark, who is the founder of Children of the Nations, personally. So it's an honor to know him in a way.
How did Children of the Nations directly affect you or your family or your village in Malawi?
We have just the city that Children of the Nations operate in Malawi, the city of Lilongwe, which is the capital of the country of Malawi, is a city where I come from and the city where I was raised in. And so I've just known many families that are not related to me by blood, but you look at the African culture, like every person that lives close to you is in a way closely related to you. And so we've known these children that would have otherwise been destitute if it was not for Children of the Nations. And so and just seeing those children being raised by COTN and seeing COTN's vision being fulfilled in the country that way has been moving, really.
Yeah, just to add on that, it has also added a hope and a smile in our lives.
So Children of the Nations in Malawi, in the place, in the city where you're from, Lyon, correct?
Lilongwe.
Lilongwe. Say it again.
Lilongwe.
Lilongwe is mainly addressing children with AIDS and HIV, correct?
Yes, orphans from parents who have died from HIV/AIDS, mm-hmm. and some of the children who do have HIV/AIDS themselves, and that as well as children that have had parents that have lost parents from diseases like malaria, which malaria is very common in the country too. So,
definitely in Africa and all over Asia, we're so lucky in this country. We don't have to deal with harsh viruses like that. But one of the main harsh viruses that we deal with here is HIV and AIDS. And in this country, we like to kind of push it under the rug a little bit. But in a country like Malawi, it's not possible to do that. And I'm glad that Children of the Nations is there. So, guys, how long have you been in this country?
I've been here for like close to 3 months now.
Are you planning on staying?
I'm going back to Malawi.
At what time are you going to go back?
I have like a week here, so in a week I'll be going back to Malawi.
Now, why did you come to the States, guys?
I was here as an intern at this place in downtown San Francisco.
So how did you become associated with Flood in San Diego?
Well, it's actually the founder of Flood came to Malawi about 6 years ago. He came to Malawi about 6 years ago, and that was the first time that I got to meet with him. And then about a year later, I came to the States. Totally unrelated to Flood. I came to the States because I got scholarship to come and play soccer. And so I went to college here in the States and just found out that Flood was actually really close to it was really close to where my school was. And and so I got that connection with Flood that way, and then years later we started taking trips to Malawi and taking people from the States and exposing them to things that are taking place in Africa, in Malawi particularly. And actually we have taken many teams. Many of those people have gone and done their work with Children of the Nations, and so that's how our bond with Children of the Nations has become really, really strong. And so,
now you said that Children of the Nations gave you guys a lot of hope. when it came to the city in Malawi. What was it like before they came? Were there other organizations there helping out?
Yeah, they, you know, to their credit, I think there is a few other organizations that are doing great work. But Children of the Nations just, they get it, you know. They get partnering with the people for success. And so it's not, Children of the Nations is not one of those organizations that will come in the country and they'll run the whole show. COTN comes to Malawi, you know, they labor with the people, you know, they're in the trenches with us. And so much so that we know that if at some point they do happen to leave the country, mm-hmm. that their work will be sustained, you know. Because you have people in the country that are learning from the process, and it's not someone coming from a Western country and imposing their ideologies, imposing stuff that they think should be done. It's really them partnering with the people in the country, and so that's where the element of hope, I would say, comes from. Because we know that work, you know, will be sustained because the people have learned it.
Can you give us some examples of how the partnership comes to fruition?
Like at my school, some students, they work as interns at COTN. I've been an intern before, and I've learned a lot doing that. And that thing that I've learned out of that, I'm going to use it anywhere I go. Even when I go back to Malawi, I'm going to use the same thing with people in my village.
The influence is large. You know, it goes beyond just the work that they're working in or the village that they're impacting, mm-hmm. because The whole process that they are doing is not only a process of feeding the children, and it's also leadership development in a way, you know, because you're bringing in these interns and you're bringing in the people of the country and you're changing their mindset. You're changing, you know, you're changing their lives, which in turn lives change, you know, change lives will change culture, and change culture will change policy, you know. And so it's good not only for the villages, it's good for the country as a whole, I'd say.
It reminds me of an expression. Have you heard? If you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Mm-hmm. If you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime.
Yes.
More like that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I think Children of the Nations does a great job with that, you know, and lives that. Like, it's their ethos, it's the air they breathe through.
And that's so unique for an organization, because so often, like with Peace Corps, you know, we hear that it's just America imposing ideas, and then they set the people up, but then they don't set them up for long-term benefits. Yeah. But you really believe that Children of the Nations is using their, like, from the money that's being generated at Rock for Africa tonight, mm-hmm. yeah. you really feel like that money is going directly toward the people and its long-term goal, long-term effects in that country. Yeah. And not just Malawi, but Uganda mm-hmm. and Sierra Leone, right?
Yeah. Actually, you know, allow me to say this without the possibility of editing it. But I think this is probably going to push even the way you guys think a little bit. I think, you know, if you as an American steps into a country in Africa, okay, with great intentions and you have a great heart, you land in the country, immediately you start feeling superiority complex. It's just going to happen. It's natural. It's the way you've been raised. You know, you've been raised to believe that you could do things. You've been raised to believe that, you know, if you set your mind on something, you can be successful. You know,
that's true.
Now you step into the country, into a country in Africa. The people there are already, in relation to you, are going to have inferiority complex naturally. You know, and so you have that, and you constantly have to be fighting that. And I think COTN has done a great job of fighting that and taking people here that in a way would believe, because culturally they believe like that they are superior, and getting them in the country and saying, look, we can only be as successful as the Malawians, you know, and together, you know, you get to form a team and to understand that a team can only be as strong as its weakest link. And so it's not just about, okay, here's a work, we know how to do it, let's do it. You know, it's about, okay, you know, what can we do? Like, what do you guys want? There was an organization that came to Zambia, which is neighboring to Malawi, and it's an organization that I've done a little bit of work with. When they came into the country, they noticed that the women, you know, were quote unquote being oppressed, and so they said, you know what? Here's what we should do. I think we need to dig wells close to the village where the women live, so that the women don't have to walk long distances to go draw water. Great idea, right? And so they draw this well, you know, they dig these wells, and it's supposed to be all great. Next day, all the women in the country, all the women in the village are upset. And so they're wondering, wait, we just gave you guys water, why are you guys so upset? Later on, they found out these women, the time that they walk, the long distances that they walk, number one, is a bonding time to them. They don't want to lose that. Number two, in a way, they're stepping out of the oppression of the home. They don't want to be oppressed more. And so, without really having a contextual understanding of what's going on, you cannot make a significant impact that will be lasting. And I think COTN gets that, and COTN works with the people in order to bring about change that's sustainable.
So often you hear about it's difficult to educate people, because educating people you're educating people on multiple generations, so the older, the younger, and then the children and infants. And with HIV specifically, are there any cultural boundaries that COTN runs up against when trying to educate people, people feeling like maybe condoms are scary, or the man, quote unquote, trying to harm them, or what kind of bumps in the road does COTN face when trying to educate the people?
Culturally, it's really hard to say some of the things or to do some of the things which are like open. Like, for example, like you have said about the condom, it's really difficult for me as a Malawian to be saying that open about a condom, how to put on a condom correctly and stuff. So it's really a challenge. I think by involving the nationals, by involving me as a Malawian on how I can approach this, I know the way I can tell this to somebody, and it cannot be a taboo. Rather than like maybe just one, a person from here come to Malawi and then have a translator, it would be really hard for a person to translate exactly word per word what is they're saying. But telling me to tell the people, I will know how to do that, and it's going to be effective.
And actually, organizations like COTN would face like barriers in communication. Same things that you could say in English, you could not say in our language without like it being a big deal. It always will be. So I could say the same, I could say the same thing about something, but to translate that and saying it in Chichewa becomes 10 times more difficult to bring out. Guys and I were just talking about that last night and how difficult it is. And so that is a hiccup, but I think the other thing is people have to understand also, like, there's certain things that have to be called the way they are. Mm-hmm. And so it's not always just about like, merging or like morphing to what the cultural beliefs are. Sometimes culture has to be challenged. Mm-hmm. But it's hard. Again, it's hard for a person coming from outside, coming in to just challenge the culture without understanding the cultural, the context of things. And so... but by involving the locals, by working with the locals and teaching them and partnering with them for change, like the locals would know how to address culture, and they know the things in their culture that need to be changed, and they know the things in their culture that they value that must be maintained.
So, Noel, what are your plans in the future here? Are you staying in America?
I'm in America for a while. I always say that I'm here to learn and absorb as much as I can of the things that I'll be able to take back home. I give myself a few years here, and then I see myself going back home and helping out with humanitarian needs like these, and possibly for me, a future in ministry and politics. But I've been going back every year, taking teams every year to do leadership conferences with college students, to do trainings with helping out with organizations like Children of the Nations, but every year I've been making it a point to go back and pour back into the country, because I know that people here do have that enthusiasm to help, and so I'm like, hey, let's take that energy, let's mold it into positive energy. and let's do something significant together. So
that's great. Well, we are Pirate Pods, so we like to ask all of our interview subjects at the end to give us their best pirate impression. So can you guys help us out with that?
All right.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for talking with us.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Right.